Hamilton and Sam Alkoff, and our special storm team here in New York, Tamarie Astudio, Trina Nadura, Robbie Karen, Mike Burke, Nicole Salazar, Mike DeFilippo, Safwat Nizal, Becca Staley, John Randolph, Cole Moxa, Julie Crosby, Dina Gester, Messiah Rhodes. I'll be speaking at the John Barrymore Center in Fort Lee.
My name is Genevieve, and I'll be hosting Peace, Love, and Jenny on CFRC 101.9 FM on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. We'll be exploring every...
On Saturday, February 7th, the Carr Harris Cup returns to CFRC 101.9 FM. Tune in at 7 p.m. to catch the 140th anniversary clash between the Queens Gaels and their crosstown rivals, the RMC Paladins. The Carr Harris Cup is more than just a game. It is a celebration of history, pride, and the Kingston community. And you can catch all the intense action on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Campus Beat. I'm Dinah Jansen. Elections and referenda campaign time is now underway for candidates and clubs under the Society of Graduate and Professional Students. In this episode, we are featuring coverage of the SGPS All Candidates Debate, which occurred on January 26th, 2026 at 6 p.m. via Zoom. SGPS members are reminded that voting for candidates and student fees takes place on January 29th and 30th. Watch your Queen's emails for ballots and visit sgps.ca for more information about candidates, groups, and the elections process. We'll turn it over now to the SGPS elections team to lead the discussion. Thank you for joining us.
We'll just start with a quick land acknowledgement and then proceed into the debate. So the Society of Graduate and Professional Students recognizes the territories of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee nations, whose lands we gather on today. This land acknowledgement reminds us that rich Indigenous governances still exist and will go into the future. This is also a reminder that we are benefiting by living on this land that is a territory of Indigenous people. So to start with today's debate, each candidate will be given 2 minutes to present themselves and why they should be elected. In the interest of fairness and time, candidates' answers cannot exceed 2 minutes in length. Jordan will signal to you when you have about 30 seconds left, and you will be interrupted once you reach the two-minute mark. Also, if you have any rebuttal points that come up, please save them, and we'll have some time at the end to bring up anything that you want to. So we'll start, we'll just go in the order that they appear here. So we'll start with the candidates. For Vice President Graduate, starting with Olivia. Olivia, whenever you're ready.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Olivia DiPaolo, and I'm a first-year master's student in translational medicine. I'm running for the position of SGPS Vice President Graduate because I care deeply about building a graduate community that feels supported, informed, and empowered. In my final year of undergrad, I actually served as the president of the Queen's Palm Team, which is a student-run competitive dance team. In this role, I supported my team's well-being, organized events, and acted as a liaison between students and athletics and recreation. These experiences taught me how to advocate for others, listen to concerns, and turn feedback into action. These skills directly align with the responsibilities of the Vice President Graduate. I bring positive, dedicated, and collaborative approach to leadership, and I am passionate about supporting graduate students throughout their academic journey. One of my priorities is career development. Beyond coursework and research, many graduate students feel uncertain about what comes next, and the uncertainty can be overwhelming. To address this, I plan to implement monthly alumni career speaker series where graduate students from a variety of professional pathways can share their journeys after grad school. These discussions will normalize uncertainty, highlight diverse career options, and create space to talk openly about the mental health challenges tied to career pressure. Next, I will prioritize financial well-being. I will advocate for the return of graduate-specific budgeting seminars and financial literacy workshops with attention to the unique needs of both domestic and international students. These workshops were well-received in the past, but were discontinued in 2023. And I'm committed to ensuring that they are offered consistently so graduate students can feel more confident in managing their finances. With your support, I would be honored to serve as Vice President Graduate and work toward creating a more supportive, resourceful, and connected graduate community at Queens. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Olivia. We'll move on to Olusola.
Oh, is it me?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. My name is Olu. Okay. That's good.
Oh, Olu. Okay. Is that what you go by? Perfect. Okay. I'll make note of that.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. My name is Olusola Akintola. I'm a PhD candidate in Global Development Studies, and I'm excited to want to serve you as your Vice President Graduate at the SPGS. I'm reaching out definitely because I believe deeply in the power of strong, accountable, and engaged student leadership, and I'm ready to bring that commitment to our graduate community. I have an academic training in agricultural economics, rural development, public policy, and business administration. Throughout my time in academia, I served in very many roles. I was president of Brandon University Student Union. I was Vice President, JSGS, that's Johnson Shirayama Graduate School of Public Policy, University of Saskatchewan. I was Vice President, Graduate Students Association of Socials, University of Saskatchewan. I was Vice President, Academic and Socials too, at University of Saskatchewan. I've been a member of university boards and Senate. These experiences have prepared me to champion student needs, navigate institutional systems, and ensure that our voices shape decisions that affect our academic and personal well-being. If elected, I want to focus on four key priorities. I want to ensure that graduate students have a real seat at the table and a powerful voice in every departmental and university level decisions. I want to make sure that there are academic and professional empowerment, advocating for improved mentorship, equitable access to research opportunities, and stronger professional development pathways. I'm going to be inclusive community building, fostering a welcoming, diverse, and connected graduate community across all disciplines. And definitely, I'll be transparent and there will be open communication, keeping everyone informed, engaged, included in the issues, policies, and opportunities that shape our communities. I know that graduate students are facing a lot of things like student funding and housing. These are among the most pressing issues. I intend to address this. I will definitely actively advocate for improved and equitable funding packages for graduate students. I will ensure graduate students have clear access to funding information, and definitely will amplify graduate student voices in funding decisions. It will be a great honor.
Just going over time a little bit, so time to wrap it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll move on to our third candidate. So, Sakura, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Kennedy. Hello, everyone. My name is Sakura Konar, and I'm an international graduate student in my third year of PhD in the Department of Biomedical and Molecular Science. Primarily, I'm running for the role of Vice President Graduate at the SGPS because I truly care about the welfare of students, not just graduate students, but all students on campus. And being a bright graduate student, this felt like the right fit for myself. I have been serving as a graduate student senator since 2024, and during my tenure, I have served as the vice chair for Student Senate Caucus, and I'm currently serving as the chair for Student Senate Caucus as well. I'm also the graduate student representative on two standing Senate committees, which are SCADP and SEEK, which deal with the matters of academic procedure and development, as well as educational equity at Queen's. These experiences have not only helped me gain invaluable insight into government structures, but have also helped me be involved in making decisions and being a part of decisions that truly affect student welfare. Additionally, as an international graduate student, I'm acutely aware of the greatest challenges that we face, but also the specific and niche difficulties faced by international students. Should I be elected, there are four tenets of my platform that I would like to focus on. Firstly, transparency and honesty. As graduate students, we often feel unaware or disconnected from the decisions that are being taken at the highest level of governance. I would want to make these processes more accessible and palatable for students so that we are able to increase awareness. Secondly, communication and collaboration. We may be separated by our departments, but we are united as being graduate students at Queen's, and we would want to create more opportunities for graduate students to communicate and learn about each other's departments. Thirdly, interfaculty discussions. I would want to promote more collaborations between graduate and professional students, especially for those who are considering professional school after graduate studies. And finally, but most importantly, a student-first advocacy approach, because in our roles in the SGPS, it is to be in service of students and create a collaborative and resourceful and supportive environment here at Queen's University. Should I be elected, I will bring my institution knowledge into the role of Vice President Graduate. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Sakura. All right, so we will now move on to the sole candidate for Vice President Professional. Mary, whenever you're ready.
Great, thank you so much. So hi, everyone. My name is Mary. I'm a first-year medical student here at Queen's, running for the role of VP Professional. A little bit about me. Before coming to medical school, I completed a master's degree in public health and worked for about 4 years as a research project manager. So I'd be coming to this role with sort of the perspective of having been a master's student and then a working professional and now a professional student myself. And I think it's through this work experience that I came to appreciate how collaborative and interprofessional the real world is. And so one of the key things that I would really want to work on in this role is advocating for and expanding opportunities for interprofessional education. I think we have a lot of great examples for how law and medicine, for example, or law and business, perhaps, collaborate in a social or athletic sphere. And I would really love to see more academic and educational dimensions to that. The current VP professional has been, as I understand it, working on a needs assessment of professional students. And something that I would want to do is, depending on where that work is, either continue it or to sort of take the learnings and apply it, because I think that kind of continuity is really important. And I always appreciate being evidence-based in our programming wherever possible. So I think I might be coming up against my time here, but thank you so much for everyone who's here. Really welcome questions here or questions via email as well, if you just want to get on a call and chat.
Awesome. Thank you, Mary. So we will move on now to the candidates for SGPS president. So we'll start here with Alexandra.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Alex, and I'm in my first year of my master's in translational medicine. Right now, I'm the master's representative for my program, and what I care about most in that role is advocating for my peers by first listening and then either pushing for change or making sure that the right conversations can actually happen. Being in this position has also shown me how much goes into organizing a student body to be the best that it can be, and how much better it gets when people feel heard and supported. So not to age myself, but I've been at Queen's for almost 6 years now, and in that time, I've both seen and experienced a lot of the same challenges come up again and again, challenges that I genuinely think SGPS has the power to help alleviate. That's why I'm running for SGPS president, to increase collaboration across disciplines, improve access to services, and strengthen housing support. Since I only have 2 minutes, I'm going to focus on collaboration because I'm sure I'm not the only one that's noticed just how separate different faculties can be. And I really believe that the strongest ideas and communities come from people with different backgrounds working together. And I think that Queen's can do that with the right support from SGPS. For me, that would start with building more meaningful connections between SGPS and the incredible student councils within each faculty, something I honestly don't see happening enough right now. And then beyond that, SGPS should be actively creating opportunities for students across faculties to come together, talk through shared problems, and actually work on solutions. If elected, I'd help push for that change alongside other work on housing support and better access to services, so that graduate students and professional students feel more connected, more supported, and more set up to succeed. Thank you very much, everyone, for being here and taking the time out of your very busy schedules, I'm sure, to support student governance.
Awesome. Thank you, Alex. All right, we'll move on to our last candidate, Tatiana, whenever you're ready.
Thanks so much. Hi, everyone. I'm Tatiana. I'm in my second year of law, and I'm running to be your SGPS president. I've been here for 6 years. I think we've all been here a long time, which is always really exciting. I did my undergraduate here in sociology, where I learned a ton about working with others, collaborating, and how to be a kind of voice for others. I'm running on a three-pronged platform of mentorship, professional development, and student engagement. I think that when we all get here for the first time, we're not really sure how the university runs. We don't know our student government, and we don't know what services are available to us. And I want to emphasize to students that you can get a paid job here, you can volunteer your time, and you can work towards a cause you really care about. And that's what the SGPS is for. It is an opportunity to create interdisciplinary programs for all graduate students, such that as a law student, if I wanted to go tomorrow and learn about English literature or gender studies, I could do so, and someone could do the same for my program. And that professional development can only bolster our ability to be excellent professionals in our careers. We're all going to leave here soon, so the impact we make, it feels fleeting, but it can be permanent if we implement the right programs. I also think there's so many opportunities for the SGPS to work with existing programs and to bolster those. So existing mentorship programs to build more connections between undergraduates, graduate students, and professionals, and also opportunities for programming that helps people understand what resources are available to them, whether that be housing, food, or just looking to make connections and build relationships. I think the SGPS has that opportunity. All right, thanks so much. I look forward to speaking more, and thank you all for coming out today.
All right, thank you. Well, so we will move on now to the prepared questions for each position, and we will start with the candidates for Vice President Graduate. So the question for these candidates is, as Vice President Graduate, your role is to advocate for graduate students. Based on your experience, what do you think are the needs of graduate students, and how do you plan on maintaining student engagement? We'll start again from the top and work our way down. So Olivia, whenever you're ready.
All right, thank you for the question. From my experience as a graduate student so far, I believe the main needs of graduate students fall under the areas of career guidance, financial well-being, and having a stronger connection to SGPS. As I mentioned in my introduction, more student support is needed around future planning. Graduate students are under pressure to have a clear post-degree plan, which can be very stressful. What students need is reassurance that their paths can be flexible and that multiple outcomes can still lead to a successful career. Financial concerns are also very present. Many students are balancing tuition, rent, and everyday expenses. And bringing back these budgeting seminars and financial literacy workshops can make a big difference in how confident students feel around navigating budgeting. Additionally, many students feel unsure about what resource exists, what the SGPS actually does, and where do they go to with concerns or suggestions? And this can make advocacy feel distant or even inaccessible. And then to maintain graduate student engagement, I think the key is meeting students where they already are. This means improving how SGPS communicates by making information more visible, clear, and approachable. And I would like to see the SGPS expand its social media presence and use short videos or reels to help explain these resources and advocacy efforts, as well as upcoming initiatives, in a way that is very easy and accessible. I also believe engagement comes in two ways: communication. I want students to feel comfortable sharing their experiences, concerns, and needs, whether that's through events, conversations, or anonymous forms. And I want advocacy to truly reflect the needs of graduate students. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Olivia. All right, so that'll be the same question to Olu.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate this. From my experience working with students, I discovered that the most pressing needs of the students are funding and housing. These are major issues of the graduate students. And I intend to tackle this by actively advocating for improved and equitable funding packages. I intend to work closely with the student, with the SGPS, Queen Administration, and faculty leadership in a way to push for funding levels that better reflect the rising cost of living, especially in Kingston that we are in. I intend to do this by advocating for increased minimum funding packages for graduate students, more transparent and consistent funding across departments, and then the expanded access to internal bursaries, emergency funding, and travel grants. Secondly, I intend to ensure that graduate students have clear access to funding information. We miss opportunities simply due to lack of awareness. I intend to support clearer communication about scholarships, about bursaries, about emergency funds and external funding opportunities, and advocate for centralized, easy-to-navigate funding resources. I also intend to amplify student voices in funding discussion, through survey that I've had in town halls, departmental engagement, I will ensure that lived experiences, especially those of international students, parents, and equitable deserving groups, inform funding advocacy and negotiation. For the housing challenges, I know that the shortages and high rental costs disproportionately affect graduate students. What I would do is I will advocate for stronger university accountability on housing. I will strengthen partnership beyond the university. Housing is a citywide issue. I intend to collaborate with Kingston community organizations, housing groups, and municipal stakeholders to ensure graduate students' concerns are represented in broader housing conversations. And thirdly, I will support practical student-focused housing solutions, including advocating for improved housing, improved portals, support for students navigating leases and tenant rights. These are the issues that I think the students need to tackle. That will be my major priorities because I know these are the needs that graduate students have. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And then the same question to Sakura.
Thank you for the question, Kennedy. In my experience as a graduate student, some of the most difficult situations or difficulties that graduate students face is obviously starting with financial difficulties, which is the crux of all other problems as well. It starts with the stipend packages. So to deal with that, I would want to advocate for higher or more equitable stipend packages across all departments. There is a great disparity in the funding packages across departments, and my first goal would be to make that more equal. And to make that more equal across departments as well. And my second goal would be to advocate for more student voices when it comes to stipends. We need to make it clear or make it more understandable for administration as well as how difficult living off of the stipend packages can be, especially in the environment where rents are constantly increasing. Coming to housing issues, I think this is a problem that goes beyond just the university. It is a community-wide problem within Kingston as well. In that aspect, I would want to interact with and collaborate with community members in Kingston, speaking with governance presence at Kingston community stakeholders in Kingston. So how can we tackle the problem of housing as well as rent increases within the city? Another problem that I believe faces graduate students is that we often feel disconnected. We are not aware of what is available on campus, not just for resources, but also how can we get engaged or how can we get involved? So I would want to make governance structures at Queen's where graduate students can represent themselves and advocate for themselves more clear to graduate students so that they're aware what are the opportunities on campus that we can be involved with so our voices can be stronger and be heard across campus. Thank you.
Thank you, Sakura. All right, so now we'll move on to our prepared question for the candidate for Vice President Professional. So this is the question. As Vice President Professional, your role is to advocate for professional students. Based on your experience, how do you think the needs of professional students differ from graduate students? And how do you think your experience enables you to speak on behalf of all professional students at Queen's? Mary, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So first of all, I think there are a lot of similarities between graduate and professional students and some of the issues that the candidates have already spoken about, like housing, food insecurity. I think these things do impact us all. And then I think there are some ways that the professional student experience is different, at least leaning on my experiences. So candidates have spoken about like graduate student funding, and that's something that works a little bit differently for professional students, like TA-ship opportunities. I would say those are a little bit more of like unique challenges for graduate students in other programs, whereas I think professional students are focused a bit more on like the career planning aspects, navigating like recruitment, applying for jobs after their program. So I think these are some key differences. And then I would say something, at least from the perspective of a medical student, and this might be true for a law student, I probably am not in a position actually to speak for all professional students, but I definitely want to listen and learn. I think something that we probably struggle with is getting like outside of the medicine bubble. And so I really appreciate hearing all the thoughts about interdepartmental collaboration. And so that's something really important to me as well with my ideas around interprofessional education is like how to sort of get outside of the bubble of our professional program and get to know our peers because we're going to be working together. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, and then we'll move on to the prepared question for the candidates for president. So candidates, this is the question. As the president, you are the primary face of the SGPS and advocate of professional and graduate students at Queen's University, including at Senate meetings. Given the financial constraints of the university, the SGPS is in a unique position where it must both collaborate with the administration to provide essential services and resources and advocate for greater support to address issues like food insecurity and the rising cost of living. Can you share an example or explain how you would navigate an adversarial conversation while maintaining professional relationships to defend the needs of others? Additionally, how do you plan to ensure transparency between the SGPS membership and university executives? We'll start again with Alexandra whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you for the question. I guess I'll start with the adversarial conversation component. If I'm in an adversarial conversation with the administration, my goal is to stay calm, stay specific, and keep the relationship intact while still being really firm on what students need. A concrete example of this would be housing. So if someone in the administration says we don't have funding for new housing supports, I wouldn't argue this constraint. Rather, I'd reframe the problem as access and transparency, not just dollars. So I'd come in with clear student stories and data points from intake forms and faculty councils, and then propose a compromise that's realistic under this budget pressure. So that's how I handle conflict. I would name the constraint, protect the relationship, but still push for a solution that meaningfully improves student lives. And I've learned that approach in various roles that I hold, where trust matters. Currently, I'm a St. John Ambulance team leader, as well as master's representative, as I mentioned. And in these situations, when things get tense, you can't get defensive. Instead, you ask, what are the actual barriers? Who owns this decision? And what's a timeline that can be committed to, and then document everything and follow up and make sure change happens. For the second part of the question on transparency, I'm very big on transparency, so I'll do regular updates to members on what's being discussed with the administration and what's changing, including high-level budget context when it's shareable. I also want SGPS to be clear about member rights, so this includes what students can ask for, when confidentiality applies, and how these decisions get made.
Thank you, Alex. And Tatiana, same question to you.
Absolutely. Thank you. So first, being in these kinds of conversations can always be daunting, but I think the best approach from my personal experiences and my professional experiences is to remember that, like any good relationship, whether it's with your best friend or it's with an administrator, you're on the same team. Administrators have a different perspective of the budget and what needs to be done from their perspective and their knowledge, but you're ultimately all there because at some point you acknowledge that you're here to support students, you're here to work together, and you're here to actually provide a tangible result. So I find that always reminding people of that when you're in those types of conversations can go a long way. So just reminding everyone, hey, what can we do here to support students? Let's take it out of this high-level conversation about budgets or constraints or what needs to be done by when. It's how are we going to support students and how are we going to communicate to students that we're here to support them. And of course, those conversations can still be adversarial, but they can be collaborative. In adversarial conversations, I found that the best thing that always worked, I used to be the Queen Student Alumni Association president, so advocating for student and alumni relationships. And at times we would end up at the Board of Trustees or we would end up at other assembly meetings. And if there was a disagreement, the best way forward would always be, I see your point. Here's where I'm coming from and what my goal is. Can we find a way to meet in the middle? Can we find a way to make sure that everyone is satisfied with the outcome of this and everyone is kind of still reaching their goal of supporting students? And then for transparency, I think that students have a right to know, and awareness of the SGPS is where that right really comes from. So making sure that students first understand what the SGPS is even for, that we're here to advocate for students, to attend these meetings, and to push through programs that we find are important. And after that, communicating that when we're able to through social media and emails and encouraging feedback as well. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, we have one last prepared question. This question is for all the candidates, and then we will go on to taking questions from attendees. So this is, the last prepared question is, Bill 33, or the Support Children and Students Act, was recently passed in November 2025 and gives provincial government power to regulate and potentially make optional student fees for university and college services. How do you feel that SGPS and Queen's University can protect themselves against potential issues that arise from this bill to ensure that the needs of Queen's graduate and professional students are met? I guess we can start again at the top. So Olivia, whenever you're ready.
All right, thank you for the question. I believe this starts with sitting down with the members of the SGPS to evaluate both sides of the situation and seeing how much this would affect us with or without these fees. And I think having these fees is very important because it keeps everything running in our school. It allows students to have access to multiple points of our school, whether that's athletics or different clubs or things that bring all students together. So I think it starts with sitting down and kind of making an assessment of what would happen without the not paying these fees, and kind of getting feedback from fellow students as well to see the burden that this can cause, and kind of moving forward from that and taking those steps.
Okay, thank you, Olivia. Olu, if you have anything you'd like to say.
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. First of all, I know that the Bill 33 gives the provincial government powers over student fees, admission criteria, and post-secondary governance. And this is raising serious concerns about the student autonomy. What I would do as VP graduate, my role will not be to scare the students. I'm going to equip them, I'm going to defend them, and I'm going to advocate for them. And how will I do this? I will make sure students understand what Bill 33 means and their rights. Then I will actively defend graduate students' service and funding. The bill allows the province to regulate ancillary student fees, but I will work with student union to document and demonstrate the real impact of these services on graduate student access. And I will advocate that graduate-specific services are essential, not optional. I will also protect equity and fair access for graduate students. How will I do this? Bill 33 requires admissions to be based on merit. But there is one thing, it does not clearly define what merit means. And this is raising concerns about equity base. I will therefore advocate for broad, inclusive definitions of merit that recognize lived experience, research potentials, and non-traditional ways. I will also build collective student advocacy, not isolated responses. And I will host leadership accountable openly and consistently in demanding transparency from university leadership on how they respond to Bill 33. And definitely, I will report back to students regularly what's happening, what's changing, and how we're responding. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Sakura, same question.
Thank you, Kennedy. Yes, it is unfortunate that Bill 33 is a reality now, but advocacy efforts need to be continued. The first step that I would want to take is to empower students with the knowledge of what Bill 33 is and how it affects us. For that, we have to first make clear what SGPS brings to graduate and professional students. What are the resources that we are providing through SGPS, and why the loss of this fee would be difficult for graduate students to handle, and what those repercussions would be of Bill 33 taking away or probably affecting how student fees are being dealt with at the university. So firstly, I would want to empower students with the knowledge of what is going on. Secondly, lived experiences and student testimonials will be of utmost importance here. We need to have experiences from students who have not only benefited from the resources that SGPS brings to students, but also to speak to how these are important and how these will change the quality of our lives should these resources be taken away from us. And finally, we'll bring these testimonials to administration so we can ask Queen's administration to stand with students and help advocate for student fees to continue so that we can continue to improve and affect student welfare on campus. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Sakura. Mary?
Thank you. I think I'll just start by adding a couple of points maybe to further the discussion. So based on my understanding of Bill 33, the sort of provision of power to regulate doesn't necessarily translate into like actively taking steps to regulate and to sort of get involved in the university's internal matters. And so I think it's still possible and important to have to be doing a lot of like political advocacy, getting on the same page as SGPS with the AMS and like all of the other bodies in the university that can have influence and sort of connections to politicians who make these decisions. And then I guess the second point that I think is really important is, let's say even if we're in a situation where student fees go from being mandatory to completely optional for all fees, and that causes issues for funding for all of the student initiatives that we care about and are invested in. I think this can really be an opportunity to reach out to students and demonstrate to them how these initiatives are important and why they should be invested in them. Because even if something is optional, a lot of students, if they see the value, will and may choose to continue investing in it. And so like the impact on funding and the budget for student activities may be sort of alleviated in that way. So I think this is a time when like reaching out to students and essentially making sure that we're all on the same page with like buy-in and investment in these initiatives can be really powerful and something to invest in for the long term.
Thank you. All right, and then we'll move on to our candidates for president. So Alex, if you'd like to start.
Thank you. That's an excellent question. It is very unfortunate that Bill 33 has passed. I think there is three things that SGPS and Queens itself can do to protect itself in the uncertain times. The very first thing, equity is very important to me. So the first thing would be to see who gets hurt if a certain service is restricted or cut and document that and take that into note, because that is very important to me again. The next thing would be to have risk plans based on those impact checks for core services. So have backups if fee rules change, find sponsorships or donations so that the services don't immediately collapse overnight. And you do have those contingency plans just in case. It's always good to have a plan B. And then finally, have a document of everything. I'm personally a very organized person, and I find having everything written down is always very beneficial. So what each fee funds, who it benefits, the outcomes, and then why it's essential, just so that if fees are restricted or cut, you know what the direct impact of that is, and you're not scrambling at the last minute, and there's no effects that you weren't necessarily expecting to happen because you have all that documented down. So those are my ideas, and thank you again for the question.
All right, thank you. And then Tatiana?
Yeah, thank you. Very timely question. I currently work for the Alma Mater Society, so the undergraduate kind of version of the SGPS, and I know advocating for awareness of what Bill 33 could pose as a risk was a very big initiative that went through the AMS recently. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that if the fee becomes optional, that is our time to connect with students and to make sure that students have an understanding of where their fees are going. And it's an opportunity for student transparency and continued advocacy. So, of course, you can always log into Solis and you can see this is an itemized list of where my fees are going. But students very often either opt out or they don't. So making students more aware of what their options are would be first, and then also actionability. This is an opportunity for the SGPS to take a lot of preventative measures and identify which services are the most relied on by graduate students, professional students, and even undergraduate students that may also rely on these resources, to make sure that the correct funding and advocacy and plans for continued operations are recognized preventatively before Bill 33 and a potential loss of funding could impact that. Additionally, planning for any variations in funding. If the fee becomes optional and people don't opt out, even if that doesn't take a major hit to revenue from the student fee, that could still cause a fluctuation. That means things get impacted. So creating a buffer, making sure that you run tight financial and you have financial efficiency planned into the year's strategic plan and going forward would also be a major way to mitigate the impact. And I think that that preventative work and working with students to identify their needs and what they rely on, and then just informing students and making sure that they understand where their money goes, is also a boost for the SGPS.
Okay, thank you, Tatiana. All right, so that was the end of our prepared questions for the evening. So we're now going to open up and take some questions from the attendees. Attendees, if you can please put your questions into the Q&A function here on Zoom. I will read them aloud, and then we'll see who they're addressed to. But candidates, if you would like to jump in and answer, you can just raise your hand and I'll call on you to speak. As well as if there were any rebuttal points that came up for you that you'd like to speak on, again, you can just raise your hand and I'll call on you to speak on that. All right, so we have a few questions in the chat. We'll just start at the top. This is a question for the presidential candidates. All right, so the question reads, for the past few years, SGPS has frequently silenced students' voices, usually in relation to specific issues such as the Palestinian genocide. SGPS executives have behaved non-democratically in order to silence student activists, a prime example being the last SGM. What do presidential candidates plan to do to ensure that this no longer happens and that all students are heard, even if their beliefs differ from the executive members' beliefs? On the same note, how do presidential candidates plan to support Palestinian students and the efforts to divest from Palestinian genocide conducted by Israel and support by several countries, including Canada and the U.S.? All right, perfect. We'll start with Alexandria. I saw her hand first.
Okay, so again, that's an excellent question, and I want to make it very clear that I recognize this is a democracy. Of course, I hold my own opinions, as does anyone, but I recognize that as president, you are the voice of students, and you have to elevate even those opinions that you don't necessarily agree with, and that is something I commit to doing and I will be doing. So behaving non-democratically, is not something that you would have to worry about if I was president, because that is completely against my values and it is not why I'm running for president. I'm not running for president to further push my opinions. I'm running for president to support students and have their opinions and their concerns heard. So in order to ensure that this no longer happens, I am going to make it very clear, as I'm doing right now, that I will have an open door policy. If you have any concerns, please email me about anything. Regardless of my opinion, I will always be open to listening to concerns that you may have, and I will always help facilitate necessary discussions to bring those concerns to the university administration, because I want every student to feel like their voice is heard, and I never want to be a barrier to someone having their voice heard. That's not why I'm running for president. And then in terms of my plan to support Palestinian students and the efforts to divest, again, I will help facilitate any conversations. My experiences limit me from fully understanding the challenges, but that being said, any challenge that a student faces ultimately rests on the president. So I will help facilitate discussions and bring concerns to the university administration. I'm running out of time, but I'm going to be very clear on student concerns, and I'm really going to push for change regardless of my experiences and my opinions. Hope that answered your question. Thank you.
Thanks, Alexandria. Tatiana?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for participating in tonight's debate and bringing such a timely issue to light. In terms of democracy, in my program in law and the Faculty of Law, we talk a lot about the rule of law and democracy and ensuring that no one acts above the law. And my belief is that the SGPS and the president role specifically for which I'm running has the ability to advocate to students and to uplift student voices. My favorite slogan on campus is for students, by students. So it's very much for you, by you, and I want people to join the SGPS, volunteer, get a job, invest your time, and really uplift your voice. And I would ensure that in terms of democracy, that we are at the meetings we have to be at, whether that's assemblies, council meetings, Senate meetings, and that we're actually speaking up about issues that students bring. And it's not just my opinion, and I think Alex made a great point that we all have our own opinions, but the role of president of the SGPS specifically is about making sure you are uplifting the opinions of the public in a democratic way. And that involves student feedback and working back and forth together. In terms of supporting Palestinian students in particular, I was just at a lecture last week on the children of genocide from a feminist perspective. And I think something that faces students when sometimes it can feel far away, but it hits really close to home is the uncertainty of how you're going to be supported and how that affects you. And I think making it really clear that students have support here, whether that's support with housing or food, or they need to send money back home and they need a job, anything that we can do, I want students to be aware that those are opportunities they have here at Queens and that those opportunities are available to them, and that we want to work with them to help them shape their own Queens experience in such a way that they actually feel empowered to go out and then to speak democratically. And I think those two issues you've brought forward really go hand in hand, is you can't have democracy without students feeling like they're supported and empowered, and that they're protected here. So I think that's really what my focus would be as president.
Thank you. So the next question specifically is for Olivia. The question is, beyond what is done currently, how do you plan to increase transparency of advocacy, services, and resources? Can you provide any examples for how you plan to accomplish this? So Olivia, whenever you're ready, and then if there's anyone else that had any thoughts, they can also answer this as well.
Perfect. Thank you for your question. I touched on this a little bit in my previous response, but I think it's very important for SGPS to expand its social media presence, because as I'm sure all of you know, social media is such a big part of our lives today. And I think from what I hear from my peers, we get all these SGPS emails and they often just go overlooked and people don't read them. But I really want to make sure students see what we are trying to say and see what we have going on and see the resources that are available. So I'd really like to make this platform more accessible through social media, such as Instagram or TikTok, where making those short reels or videos that students can see, and it's not going to be 15 minutes long, it's just a 30-minute snippet of what's going on, where you can find this, blah, blah, blah. And I think that way it'll reach students better and allow students just to know what's going on most of the time. And at the same time, I would still want emails to continue as well, but I think having this social media aspect would be very helpful.
All right. If anyone else had anything, this next question is for the vice president graduate candidates. To make research efforts and be more inclusive, what steps will you take towards engaging Indigenous research and academics at the graduate level? So Olivia, Olu, and Sakura, whoever wants to answer first, if you can just raise your hand. Awesome. We'll start with Olivia then.
Great. Hello again. Thank you for your question. I think to make research more inclusive for Indigenous students, it really starts with listening. And I think the first step is to really see the barriers that are existing for these students. And as Vice President graduate, I would really want to work with Indigenous student groups and Indigenous students in research and relevant clubs and groups around the school to see exactly what these barriers are and to act accordingly. Because like I said, the only way to move forward with action is to listen and to understand what is going on. And so I think what I can think of right now as a practical step that would help promote and connect students is to maybe create more mentorship opportunities where students in different labs or different areas of research, Indigenous students can be joined together and they can meet with the SGPS as well, so we can learn more about these barriers and more about their life and research and how we can move forward from there. So obviously my goal would be to help remove these barriers and to make participation for Indigenous students in research more accessible. And I really, truly want Indigenous students to feel more represented and supported within the research graduate community. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivia. Sakura?
Yeah, thank you so much for participating in today's debate. I think when it comes to Indigenous students, research and academics, lived experience is very, very important. It's crucial. But other than that, it's extremely important to make student bodies aware of certain challenges that we may not be facing ourselves. I think one of the steps that I would want to take is invite Indigenous researchers and academics to speak to students, not only about their research, but about their journeys and how they can help guide current Indigenous researchers and academics as well to kind of navigate their own journeys. It's also important to learn what the bottlenecks are, what the difficulties are when it comes to research and academics for Indigenous students. And in that aspect, I think a mentorship program would be excellent if we could have Indigenous researchers and academics who are established in their fields to come speak to not only Indigenous students, but to us all. Research is important for everyone. And I think awareness about challenges that we may not be facing ourselves is extremely important in how we can make research more inclusive and equitable for everyone on campus, and also give the opportunity for everyone to participate in it equally and without any barriers. Thank you.
Thank you, Sakura. Olu, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, thank you very much. I definitely thank you for this very interesting question. I did a research with indigenous people, and I noticed one thing, that graduate students in Queens, definitely they're diverse academically, culturally, and professionally. So we have research-based part-time students, caregivers, and all of that. So I believe that our unity does not mean uniformity. We have to create a system and space where differences are respected and leveraged for collective strength. What I would do to support Indigenous students in research is definitely I will make sure that the research is Indigenous-led, respectful, grounded in equity, self-determination, and reciprocity. My role will be to remove barriers, to amplify Indigenous voices, and ensure the institution lives up to its responsibility. How will I do this? I will advocate for equitable and dedicated research funding. Especially, I will advocate for dedicated research funding fellowship bursaries. Work to ensure funding opportunities that are clearly communicated, they are accessible, not buried with complex systems. Then I'll push for flexibility in funding timelines. I also support Indigenous-led and community-engaged research. I know Indigenous research is often collaborative, you know, it's relational, it's community embedded, which does not always fit traditional academic models. So I will advocate for university recognition of Indigenous methodologies, knowledge systems, and way of knowing, and support their research timelines that respect community protocols and consent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. The next question is for Sakura. It says, for Sakura, if elected, how will you acknowledge the current situation with the funding packages and advocate for equity amongst faculties in the role of VP graduate in comparison to being the student senator?
Thank you for this question. I think being in the role of VP graduate would open up a lot more opportunities as being compared to the student senator. Firstly, I would start with understanding why there is a difference between funding packages between departments. Secondly, if there are reasons that we can, which is understandable and transparent, I would want to bring those to the students so that students can understand honestly why there is difference in funding packages. Apart from that, I would also bring this up to administration as to what can we do so that we can advocate for equitable packages for everyone. We're all living in the same city and we all have the same needs. And it's very important to understand the basis of why funding packages need to look different across faculties. So that is what I would start with. And obviously I would bring that information to the students so we at least understand why we see differences amongst ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Sakura. The next question is for both presidential candidates. It says, how will you engage with university administration to work beyond verbal advocacy and make actionable changes that benefit the SGPS membership? So who's ever ready first can raise their hand. Tatiana, you can start.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So in terms of engaging with university administration, I think that really starts with that verbal advocacy, but going beyond that, and we see that a lot in the law of you start with advocating for your position and letting people know where you're coming from and what you're trying to do. And then that moves into a kind of negotiation almost. university administration, similar to, I think, my last answer, will let us know where they're coming from and what they're constrained by and what they need to happen to ensure that the university's operations continue. And then we'll let them know what students have told us they want in terms of how they've used their voice and what they care about, what initiatives, what programs, what issues they really care about, and we'll come to a consensus. So in terms of actionable change, that means regular follow-ups, that means creating a concrete plan step by step. You'll see on my platform in these last couple of days of the campaign period, I'll be releasing a first 100-day plan where you can actually see how I plan to turn abstract ideas into concrete actions. And that includes working with my team and finding out what inspires them and ensuring that they're always working on something that they're inspired to work on, because that drives more interest, that drives them to work harder, and that encourages them to really create that actionable change, to work together to get students involved as well. I think students and the student body as a whole are our best ability to make actionable change, because that's where all of our power as a student union really comes from, is the students saying what they're looking for and how we are just uplifting those voices and bringing them to the meetings and making sure that we actually follow through and we come with concrete goals and timelines. Because I know sometimes it can be really easy to say, oh, we're going to accomplish this, and then it gets pushed to the back burner or something else comes up, but those regular follow-ups and working with others can really help cement that.
Alex? Yes, thank you. So I would say the very first way to create actionable change would be to come to the meetings prepared with a clear ask from the students, with evidence, so things that students have said, survey results, things of that nature, because I feel like evidence-based asks are always stronger, and then a realistic solution, so that the solution is not, the task of coming up with a solution is not placed on the administration. I'm coming with a solution with the help of students and ideas from students, of course, rather than just coming with complaints and saying, help us fix this. It's a lot more realistic to come up with a solution beforehand. And then turning those asks into commitments. So leaving these meetings with a deadline, and very similar to what Tatiana said, and it was a great point, that there needs to be next steps in writing of what's going to be done and when it's going to be done, because or else things don't get done and there's no accountability, because people can say, well, there was no deadline. So that would be the next step. And then finally, tracking progress publicly. Transparency, as I mentioned earlier, is very important to me. So I would send monthly updates to members on what was requested specifically, where possible, what was approved, and what those next steps are, so that there's also that public accountability that plays a role as well. But thank you. That was a great question.
Thanks, Alec. The next question comes from Emails, who's the current SGPS trustee, and that's relevant to the question I'm about to read. So, having served as a graduate student senator, SGPS president, and trustee, one thing has become very clear to me. Student governance involves a steep learning curve, and many well-intentioned ideas fail because they unknowingly repeat proposals that have already been tried or rejected in the past. What concrete steps have you taken to understand the history of the issues and solutions proposed? And this is a question for anyone. All right, great. We'll start with Alex then.
Okay, thank you again for the question. So many great questions. I am a new master's student. I'm in my first year, and I recognize that. I haven't spent that much time as a graduate student, so I have taken a lot of steps to become more informed on what students' platforms were previously and what has actually been put in place, because it's very visible what changes have been made and what changes have not been made. And I'm not going to call anyone out and say specifically what changes have not been made, but there have been quite a few. And I think largely the biggest problem is that the promises that have been made are not realistic in nature with a one-year candidacy or presidency. So my solution to that is to come up with tangible change that kind of builds on stuff that has already worked, but will still make a meaningful impact on students, because I want to be realistic in the promises I'm making. So an example of that, and one of the big parts of my platform, is that I want to create an accommodation listing that is specific for graduate students. Pardon me. Currently, there already is an accommodation listing, but it's for graduate and undergraduate students, and it's amazing if you're an undergraduate student student because there are so many undergraduate students, but graduate students have very different needs when it comes to living situations. So having that graduate specific accommodation listing would be very beneficial to graduate students and would help alleviate some of that stress in looking for housing. And I believe that this is a very realistic solution to propose because it builds on something that already works. And yes, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to Tatiana then.
Yeah, thank you, Emils. So I think in terms of actually understanding the history of the issues and solutions that have already been proposed, I think it's natural that we're all going to come in with a billion really exciting ideas, and we're kind of going to whittle away at those. But I think as long as you stay true to the core tenets of what you're pushing for, it's okay for those ideas or those initiatives to meld into change as you learn your role and you adapt to that learning curve. Having been at Queens for 6 years, I know me and my friends were just tallying it up, but I've worked, I think, 12 or 13 positions and odd jobs in volunteer areas here at Queens. And I think you always go in and you're like, I'm gonna do all of these really exciting things. And then you whittle it down to, actually, I just care about